Tonight, workers prepare for a showdown, vowing to resist SNIT's proposal to increase contribution of members, part of an urgent intervention to save the scheme after ILO report reveals SNIT's reserves will deplete to zero by 2036.
Well, the little that we've given to them, they've not been able to manage. And they want more from workers. We cannot even be having a conversation about increased contribution when we don't change the structure, the political and administrative structure of SNIT.
We have details from SNIT's news conference where they confirmed government's indebtedness to the scheme as they lay out a raft of measures to avert the grim projections in the ILO report.
When it comes to investments, we've been managing investment risks to improve investment returns through one, the implementation of an asset allocation policy and undertaking investments in line with the policy. We are currently working to rebalance our investment portfolio to achieve the policy targets.
This is Top Story with Evans Mensah.
It is a charm offensive launched by the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, desperate to assure workers that your pension contributions are safe. But already, one of the key measures outlined by SNIT to save the scheme from collapse is facing resistance. Organized labor is preparing for a showdown as SNIT prepares to engage over a proposed increase in contribution rate that may also impact your immediate take-home pay. Now, a recent alarming report from the International Labor Organization, ILO, projects that SNIT's reserves will deplete to zero by 2036. If nothing is done to avert this, SNIT will struggle to pay you what you are due when you retire. A key intervention to save the scheme is to increase the rate of contributions from the current 18.5%. Now listen to Joseph Poku, who is a chief actuary at SNIT.
What has run through all these reports is the need for increase in contribution rates. In all the reports, the previous reports, that is what it says, that we need to increase the contribution rates. But ladies and gentlemen, let me mention that it doesn't come easy to increase contribution rates. It means the law has to be changed. We need to engage stakeholders. We have the employers. We have the workers as a group. We have our regulator, and then even parliament and government. So it goes through a process, and that process is a bit long. So after SNIT has even made some of these proposals, we are now going to engage the MPRA, and then we get the stakeholders like employers, because they are also going to be affected. They are going to pay their part, and then the unions, they are also part, big stakeholders. Before it goes through Attorney General's office, before Parliament, before it gets to the President, before Assembly, before the changes can be effected, before the implementation. So in order not to wait for all these processes to roll, which will take a couple of years, management of SNIT are already taking measures to make sure that the scheme becomes more sustainable or improve on the sustainability of the scheme without waiting for just the contribution rate to be increased by law.
Well, even before SNIT begins to engage on the matter, organized labor is already resisting any talk of increasing the contribution rate. They accuse SNIT of being poor managers of the 18.5% contributions they currently take. Angel Kabonu is president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers.
Well, the little that we've given to them, they've not been able to manage. And they want more from workers. We cannot even be having a conversation about increased contribution when we don't change the structure, the political and administrative structure of SNIT, and hide SNIT from the tentacles of government and make it an independent social security and insurance trust away from the directives and influence of government. That is when the worker will have confidence that if I am contributing this amount of money or this percentage of my salary, then I can get something meaningful. Historically, SNIT have not proven to workers that they have what it takes to prudently invest workers' money. So they should not even be talking about increment. they should be talking about changing the structure, the administrative structure of SME.
Colleague Kweku Asante was at that news conference, joins me in the studio now. Kweku, when we broke this story last week, the focus was on the 2036 projection, by which date the scheme, the reserves, would have depleted to zero, according to the ILO actuarial study. Now, that has alarmed many. Did SNIT address this?
Well, SNIT agrees that that is indeed a very grim projection that the ILO report has put out, and they themselves have been aware of the findings of this. But they seek to assure the public that there had been previous actuarial projections that had also projected, in fact, one projecting that by 2020, the reserves would have been depleted. They say that none of these came to pass and that they believe they've put in place enough measures to avert such a projection.
So the findings in the report, as I said, it gives you a telescopic view of what is possible to happen, not in certainty. It doesn't anyway guarantee that what the recommendations are is going to happen at all costs. That's not what it is. So it gives you an idea that based on these assumptions, this is likely to happen, not certainty. So by the law that we operate under, that is Act 766, we are enjoined to obtain an actual valuation report from external actuaries once every 3 years. That is by law. So SNIT does that. And we have been doing this since inception. In fact, this is about the 14th report that has come out since the operations of the SNIT scheme. So every 3 years, we engage the services of external actuaries to produce a report about the scheme's health, about the assets, liabilities, how they are performing, and going into the future, what is likely to happen. So, in the 2020 report, before I get to the 2020 Arsenal evaluation report, let me go back to 2011. Like I said, every 3 years you are supposed to obtain this report from the external actuaries. So we have 2020, the one where we are talking about now, 2017, 14, 11, 8, and so on and so forth. So every 3 years. So let's go back all the way to the 2011 external evaluation reports. So the report says, among other things, that if contribution rates were not increased in the future, the annual expenditure on benefit and administration would exceed income from contributions and the funds from 2019 coming will just tank. So what it says was that by 2019, we're not going to have enough money to pay benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in 2024, and we have never defaulted in payments of benefits from 2019 up to date. So that is telling you what I said earlier, that it gives you an idea that you have to take some measures and make sure that it doesn't happen. That's exactly what the report is about. So this report is not different from the reports that we've obtained over the years. Like I said, it gives you an idea where you are going as a scheme. And then you take proactive measures to steer off if there is any danger ahead of you. That's exactly what it does.
So he's talking about measures they need to take to avert the outcome, the 2036 outcome where the reserve depletes to zero. One of the major challenges that was identified that SNIT agrees to is that government owes it significant amounts in terms of monies they've taken from workers' salaries, but they're yet to pay to SNIT itself as part of the contributions to it. What is SNIT doing about this?
Well, SNIT says they are pursuing government to collect this. In fact, up until January this year, government has paid all its due to SNIT to January this year. That means workers' deduction from February and March have not been paid. But there's also the question of the legacy debt that runs into billions of cedis. At some point, the SNIT actuary said he's not so clear about the figure. Later on, he comes in and said it's about $2 billion. But there's ultimately the question about the interest and other issues that come with it if government fails to do so, the penalty that they have to pay for that, which send this into the aids and the tens of billions of cedis. They say that they are on government's heels to collect this money.
But when it comes to the government, we've engaged the government to ensure that they are current on monthly contributions. In fact, we are guiding them to be current, and they are, as we speak, I'll get there. So the previously, government had issued bonds to meet arrears, and all coupon payments have been met, the bonds that they have issued. Recently, they issued a bond for $1 billion, and discussions are ongoing for bonds to be issued for the rest of the money that they owe. Monthly contributions have been paid up to January 2024. Okay, so here's the thing. These legacy debts, before we can come to a final figure, there has to be an agreement. There has to be some kind of discussion with the state, with the government, and then we arrive at that debt. Because even when it comes to the computation of debt, we have a way, we know, based on the law, do our computation. We need to sit with the government, as we are doing, and then they will go through everything before we can arrive at a definite figure. It's an operational issue. I cannot give you a figure, exact figure now, which might even be different after the reconciliation between the government and the Senate has happened. So I'm sorry, I can't give you a definite figure now about the legacy debt. Don't forget, what I can tell you is that the debt has a principle. And like any other institution under the law, it says that when you delay in payment, there has to be interest or there has to be penalty. So the debt has a principal component and then a penalty. So we need to agree on all that before we can come up with the total debt that the government owes Senate. I said we're negotiating, we want to come up with a fact. I mentioned that we have a principal and we have interest on the debt. Because of the negotiations going on, that's why I didn't want to commit. Because after the reconciliation, the figure might change. So it's an ongoing process, but we'll come out with the debt and everybody will know about it. As we speak, as at March this year, the principal was hovering around $2.6 billion. That's the principal. But we have the penalty and the interest adding up to it. It could be for about four times that, just as it applies to any employer.
$2.6 billion. That's quite a significant amount of money. We'll talk to Labour now that we're getting some figures around how much government owes SNIT, because monies have already been deducted from the workers' salaries pretty shortly. We'll talk to Labour pretty shortly. But I want, still stay with me, quick. On this subject of what is wrong with the scheme currently, and he makes the point there that you need to do a few things now to avert that grim outcome. One of them is making sure that your investments that SNIT is currently making will yield the right returns. SNIT admits they have challenges there.
Yes. In fact, they talk about investment with MTN, for instance, that they are urgently trying to review the modalities and all that. But the bottom line for SNIT is that they are undertaking a holistic review of all its investment to ensure that they are returning the best of returns to customers and the persons who are putting their money in SNIT, that ultimately these returns will yield some great benefits and dividends for customers.
When it comes to investments, we've been managing investment risks to improve investment returns through one, the implementation of an asset allocation policy and undertaking investments in line with the policy. We are currently working to rebalance our investment portfolio to achieve the policy target. Increasing investments in fixed income securities is core to our strategy and our asset allocation strategy. Enhanced monitoring and reporting on asset class and sector exposures, restructuring of non-performing investee companies, including setting performance targets for investee companies. Increasing investment in viable listed equities, that is listed banks and then MTN. Improving real estate returns by continuing to complete and monetize ongoing real estate projects in line with asset allocation strategy. Completion and sale of affordable housing projects to enhance income generation. We also sought Senate Board's approval to refurbish key commercial properties in the Ridge area to improve occupancy and also rental income.
And we'll bring in now Angel Kabonu. Angel Kabonu is the president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAD. Also joining me is Abdullah Mashood, is executive director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. Angel Kabonu, let me start with you. Are you reassured that your pension contributions are safe? Listening to SNIT lay out the raft of measures to avert that grim outcome projected by the ILO report?
Evans, your line is very thin. The line out should be increased so that we can hear.
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Well,
is it better?
But they need to increase the line out.
Okay.
Yeah, hello.
I'm going to try again, see if it helps. I'm asking if you've listened to SNIT now. They try to lay out the measures that they want to implement or are already implementing to avert this outcome that is predicted by the ILO report. Are you reassured?
I am not, because even when the ILO report came, they kept it under the shelf. They did not even share it with the downlines. They have union representatives on the board. They have other stakeholder representatives on the board. But they didn't share that with us. An indication that, but for the revelation that was done by the consultant on your program, the public was not going to know. Now, you see, what the SNIT is relying on is the fact that even if they don't have money, then government will be coming money to be able to pay beneficiaries. And as a result of that, we should not worry when their investment practices and the various platforms they invest are in the negative. That is not the purpose for which SNIT was established. SNIT is supposed to take our money and invest those money on very prudent platforms. And SNIT ought to hide itself from the largesse of government. So they are hiding under the wings of government to be telling us that there was a projection some time ago and the projection did not come to fruition. Therefore, the people at SNIT are supposed to be actuaries. And I think that the level of exactitude of actuaries ought to be a very high one. You know, so some of us are not assured one bit. SNIT is supposed to take money from us and government. SNIT is supposed to invest the money they take from us prudently and make the beneficiaries get adequate return on the investment that they have done. Also make people know how much their investment is accruing at the various investment platforms that they've chosen. That is when we see an independent, serious institution that is accountable to the people who own it.
Abdullah, you were the first to make this disclosure. You blew the whistle on this ILO report. You've listened to SNIT trying to explain the report. They seem to suggest, in a nutshell, that we all have nothing to worry about. We can all go to sleep and retire and just walk to sleep and take our monies and walk home smiling. Do you share that confidence?
Okay. Thank you, Ivan. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, let me say, SNIT's report to the ILO Actuarial Valuation Report represents significant progress as far as transparency in Social Security Administration and governance in Ghana is concerned. This is the first time we are having the opportunity to discuss SNIT's Actuarial Valuation Report. I remember the Chief Actuarial has indicated that this is the 14th report. The Chief Actuarial has indicated that they have put some measures in place. Of course, he has admitted that the depletion date is indeed set at 2036. And he has indicated that they have put some measures in place to improve the financial situation. Look, this is not the time for us to be defensive.
This is not the time. Abdullah, do you have a radio on close to you?
No, please.
Okay, we are having a feedback somewhere. We'll need to rectify that. Sure. Yes, proceed.
Okay?
Yes.
Is it okay now?
It is.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that this is not the time for us to be defensive. This is a social security program that is feeding nearly 250,000 pensioners and their families. It is a program that holds the future of more than 1.8 million contributors in this country. That is how strong such a program is. And this is not the point for us to be playing
with politics and all that. We don't have to be defensive. Look, it is very normal to be told in an actual valuation report that your skin reserves are depleting due to changes in demographic and economic conditions, of course, rising cost of benefits. But what is not normal is when stakeholders sit back and do nothing. That is what is wrong.
So on that point, though, they tell us today that they are doing something. And I'll come to the suggestion about increasing contribution rate pretty shortly with Angel Kabodo. They say they are looking at investments. I want to ask you, the raft of measures that you've heard them outline today, will they be enough to avert the outcome projected by ILO?
Well, I didn't listen to the press conference, but I heard he mentioned, increasing the contribution rate from the current 11%. This is an integral part of the actual recommendation. In fact, it was central. In 2014, we were told that if you don't increase the contribution rate beyond the 11% to a SME scheme, it's going to deplete. In 2017, we were told, in 2020, we are told. That is the main recommendation. We talked about government indebtedness. I have told you that government indebtedness inflicts the biggest pain as far as, the sustainability, of the SME scheme is concerned. Don't forget, the ILO report we are discussing today is in respect to the tax activities for the period 2018 to 2020. The current actual situation of the scheme comprising 2021 to 2023 is unknown. But let me just give you a hint of the possible outlook of the next actual valuation report, for which reason we can't go and sleep based on the assurance we are given. A good assurance has come, but we need to follow it through. I'm going to just use four parameters. Dependency ratio. The dependency ratio is a very big indicator that is contributing to what an actual opinion is going to be given in a particular valuation period. The dependency ratio is looking at the number of contributors or the number of workers who are contributing to the scheme to support one pensioner. Generally, not long ago, we had 17, workers contributing to support one pensioner. As we speak today, it is 7. And from 2021 to 2023, it's likely to go down even more due to general economic conditions and state of migration. In 2014, 2017, 2020 evaluations, migration was assumed to be zero. I'm not sure the next valuation period, 2021 to 2023, ILO can afford to set migration at zero, because we have had active labor force flying out of this country in search of greener pastures. And that is going to reflect in the dependency ratio. Real returns on investments. In 2021, of course, I'm analyzing the period 2021 to 2023, which is going to comprise the next actual valuation period. 2021, SME posted a positive real returns on their investment, plus 8.84. With, 2022 and 2023, inflation averaged 31.47 in 2022 and 40.28% in 2023. With this astronomical figures, Ivan, I have a very big doubt whether SME can put a positive real returns on their investment in 2022 and 2023. And that is going to feature prominently in the outlook of the next valuation report.
Very interesting revelations there. And one of the central recommendations that we had today that SME says they need to engage on is a proposal to increase the contribution rate. Angel Kabonu, SME says today that increasing the contribution rate is an essential part of saving the scheme. I've heard you already say that they're not good managers of what you're already contributing. But if this will save the scheme, why not support it?
Hello,
Mr. Kabodo, can you hear me?
Repeat the question. Yeah,
the proposal to increase the contribution rate.
Well, why will you want us to increase the contribution when the outcome of your management is indicated that you have failed? How do we call for increment when an international body is determined that you have not prudently managed the institution? The little that was given you have not been able to render account on your stewardship. Then you are calling for more money? What is changed in terms of governance? What is changed in terms of government control when you have an organization that is infested with political appointments, and you are, instead of being accountable to the contributors, you are accountable to a political figure. Is this an institution that can justify a call that people should increase their contribution? From where I sit, the answer is absolutely no. The answer is absolutely no.
But if you don't do that, if you don't agree for this to happen, you are facing a much grimmer outcome, which is that 2036, the scheme may struggle.
Look, you see, Ivan, I want you to bring to your studio some SNIT beneficiaries and sit them down and let them tell you how much they earn monthly from SNIT payments. And ask yourself that from the time of the for establishment of SNIT to date, whether SNIT is prudently managed its affairs. The other thing that we look at is SNIT is supposed to weather the storm for the worker by providing the worker with affordable housing. What we have now is not affordable housing. It is avoidable housing because the price of the houses that are sold are beyond the reach of the contributor. And let us also sit down and go in depth into the name of the institution we are talking about. Social Security and Insurance Trust. Ask me whether they have lived up to their name. I don't think I will ever support any increment. I would rather call for the change in the governance structure of SNIT and make the contributors more representative on the board of SNIT and ensure that SNIT follows the rules and regulation in investing people's money. That is what I'll call for.
And so, because I have you on the line, I know you also have issues with Tier 2. And you've made demands of the government as far as Tier 2 contributions are concerned. Your monies were deducted at source, but they haven't been paid yet. And you've already served notice that May 2nd, you'll act. Have you heard anything from government?
Well, a meeting has been called by the Minister for Pensions. That is the Minister for Employment and Labour Relations, Mr. Ignatius Bathwiwia, tomorrow, 10 o'clock. In his conference room. That meeting will clarify the payment situation after tomorrow. And then a final decision will be taken from that conference room by the labor group. But the same behavior and the tolerance and how management is tolerating government all the years, the same behavior of government to SNIT is the same behavior government wants to introduce to the payment of Tier 2 obligation, where government fails on its responsibility to transmit payments adequately and timeously to the various trust boards for investment. It is that same behavior government wants to extend to the Tier 2s.
And today we got some clarity from SNIT that when it comes to your SNIT contributions that have already been deducted from your salaries, government owes it, as far as principal is concerned, more than $2
billion. And that is disturbing because, you see, SNIT is being economical with the truth. There are a lot of past credits of lump sum that they ought to have transmitted to the various Tier 2 trust boards. And SNIT came to tell the leadership of Labour that they do not have the money and that the only means by which that money can be paid is when the government decides to come up with the money. So as I speak, there were a lot of people who retired from public service with meager amount of money, just because NIT did not transmit the component of past credit to the various trust boards. So if you don't have money to pay for money that is in your custody, what are you standing on to give me any assurance?
Mr. Kabunu, thank you very much. Abdullahi Mashoud is Executive Director of Africa Center for Retirement Research. I'm grateful that you joined me with your thoughts. I want to hear from you. 055-111-1997. Issues of pensions affects every single individual. If you work, share your thoughts with me here on Newsnight. We start in a minute. Send them. You get